I invite you then to turn to the book, and I think we can actually say the Gospel of Joshua. And we're going to look there at chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first five verses, and then we're going to read verses 6 and 9, 6 through 9 in unison. So verses 6 through 9 will be our text, and then we'll read those verses together, and then I'll just read the first part as introduction. Joshua chapter 1. So after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." And then let's read together. "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, in God's providence, this morning in the Covenant Reformed Church, on a Father's Day, interestingly enough, we installed three elders and a deacon. And we read this passage. And I want you to think for a moment, if you can, imagine for a moment that you are Joshua. You're probably around 60 years old, and Moses is dead. For some of us, if you remember Batman, well, Moses was like Batman, and Joshua was like Robin. But now Batman is gone, and now Robin has to take over. Moses is dead. By the way, point number one, human leadership, we're here and we're gone. Jesus is always there. Elders are here and then they're gone. God is always there. Deacons are here and then they're gone. The Holy Spirit is always there. Now think about it. Joshua has seen everything that's gone on since they left the land of Egypt, and they've watched what Moses, or he's watched what Moses has gone through. Now he's seen some pretty amazing things. He was on Mount Sinai. He felt it shake and quake and all of those things when God appeared to Moses. But he also saw Moses day after day dealing with a million whiny people. Now, believe it or not, sometimes Pastor Mitch and I complain a little bit about the people of God because, you know, they just don't listen. If they would just listen to us, it would all be good. Moses had a million, which is good to think about. We have nothing to complain about. So there was a day when Israel was seriously complaining. "Moses, what were you thinking? You brought us into the wilderness. There's not enough to drink. There's not enough to eat. Oh, that we could be back in Egypt. Really, you want to be slaves again? Well, at least we had something to eat." I mean, it's pathetic. And Moses is getting frustrated, and God says, "Look, this day I'm going to show them that I am God. I'm going to give them water." But finally, Moses has had enough, and instead of just touching the rock out of which the water will come, which, by the way, the Apostle Paul says is a symbol of Christ, Moses hit it in anger. He struck it. And then God said to Moses, "You know what? I don't think so. You did not represent me. You did not show them the Father, Moses. You showed him anger, and you showed him irritability, and now you cannot enter the promised land. I find that amazing. Okay, when I remember when I was a child, actually, I'm 56 at the end of the month. I still am bothered by it. Come on, Moses did all this stuff for you, Lord, and in one bad moment, and he can't go into the promised land? And a couple of times, if you read through Numbers and Deuteronomy, he asked God, please, come on, let me cross over. And God said, Moses, I've spoken. And it's enough. He's not Santa Claus in the sky. You misrepresented me, and the burden on you is huge. Do you pray for Reverend Prasad? Do you understand his burden for your elders and for your deacons, for your fathers, for those in authority over you? The burden's great. And we don't just get to make mistakes. Didn't we just hear, I'll visit the iniquity upon the fathers? That's not just biological fathers. That's on elders and deacons and pastors who don't do their work. Joshua saw all that. And they had been here once before, you know. They had been at the Jordan River one time before. And then God said to Moses, send out 12 spies. And Joshua was one of those spies. And they went out. And 10 of the spies says, oh, no, they're too big. And we can't beat them. And they're whining away again, as if God can't take care of a few people from Jericho. As if the Canaanites are bigger than God. I mean, if you talk about that, you talk about anti-worship. That's not the worship of God. But Joshua and his friend Caleb said, I don't think this is a problem. I think we can just go in there. God will take care of us. And then God says, now I've had enough with you all. Some of those spies, the 10 who deny God, oh, no, no, we'll go in there. And God said, don't do it. They go in there and they're slaughtered. And Joshua spends the next 40 years of his life backtracking towards Egypt, going round in circles, doing 40 years of funerals. Leadership. And now Moses is dead. And now you got to cross the Jordan, and Jericho's right over there. And you can be pretty sure that the Canaanites are not like, oh, is this your land? God said you can have it? Come on in. They're scared. Rahab tells us later on, as we continue in Joshua, we have heard what your God did to Egypt, the most powerful nation on the earth. All right? I mean, we'd kind of be like Iceland. I wanted to take facetiously defeating the Dutch in soccer, but I won't. It would be like Iceland taking on the United States and with God beating them. That's what that's like. We and Rahab says it, and the Jericho people know it. We know what your God did to Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth. We know what your God did to the Moabites. We've heard about it and we're scared. But instead of bowing the knee to Almighty God, we will stop you at all costs. They're going into the promised land. Now, sometimes we talk about that the book of Exodus and Numbers, that's like the work of Jesus Christ in terms of bringing people to the valley of salvation, and that the book of Joshua is Christ in the Pentecost era, so that where Israel is going forward in formal physical war against the Canaanites who are hostile to them, they go in the faith and the belief that the land is promised to them, and that Jesus, before he goes to heaven, says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore into all the earth, teach them all that I have commanded, preach and baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I will be with you to the end of the age. And what do we read in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacekeepers, because they'll inherit the earth. Jesus rules the earth. The earth belongs to God. God says, you go out. It belongs to you by virtue of Jesus, and you belong to Jesus. This is our promised land. Oh, you go, really? It will be perfected. But this belongs to God. So as they go into the promised land, we go now out into the world. As they go with Joshua, his name in Hebrew means the Lord saves, or salvation is of the Lord. We go in Jesus, whose name in Greek means the Lord saves, or salvation is of the Lord. And they go into that, what is promised to them, to be faithful and to believe in a faithful God, even as we should go. And behind all of this, beloved, is that whole horrible emotion of fear. Joshua's got to lead people who don't know how to fight into war. Joshua has to lead people who don't want to be led into the promised land. Joshua may not be a people pleaser. He has to do the work of the Lord. And then God sees Joshua and says, I know. I know you're struggling and I know you're scared. But I will be with you. The Lord commissions Joshua then to leadership with these words, be strong and courageous. By the way, which is a command, right? First of all, that command is a call to confidence. So this doesn't just happen, right? We don't just meet Joshua. It happens in the great flow and sweep of redemptive history. And God has, as we already said, brought Israel out of Egypt. And now they're at the promised land after 40 years of wandering. And what's interesting there is that you have this weak fatherhood that's all dead. And yet God, in spite of them, raises up this new generation that's incredibly powerful by means of him. We have a generation that when it passes away, and then we get to the judges, their children tend to be very weak again. But in the midst of that, God says, now's the time, and I'm raising up a generation, and here they are. And front and center is Joshua. Moses has died. He's given the whole book of Deuteronomy. That's his last sermon. He's commissioned Joshua. He's commanded Joshua. We have this beautiful transition of power where leadership trains leadership, and leadership allows the next generation of leadership to lead. You know how hard it is to lead and let go? If any of you have ever worked in the family business, it's a tough thing for dad to say to his son, okay, son, you take it over now, without speaking on everything. But Moses has let it go. Joshua is there. And then when God comes to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. God calls Joshua to remember and believe. When an 80-year-old man leaves his father-in-law and leaves the sheep of his father-in-law and stands before Pharaoh and says, let my people go, and 10 plagues happen, and finally Pharaoh lets the people go, but not before God hardens his heart and Pharaoh and all his hosts are thrown into the Red Sea. Joshua saw it. You were with Moses, Lord, it's true. Joshua as an Israelite would have known that God had promised Abraham about 400 years before this that your children will inherit a land that is not their own. They're going to dwell in a land for a while, and then I'm going to bring them to the promised land, in part because I want them to have it. I want them to worship me. I want them to be my set piece of mission, so when the world sees Israel, and if they're worshiping God, they're being blessed. So the rest of the world goes, wow, look what they have. And then God says, I will use this Moses for the next 40 years. And Moses leads the people. And even though the people are against Moses, Moses is protected. And God is with him. He had a word, right? He had a history. He had the wonder of a redeeming God who keeps his promises. You remember when you were baptized? Some of you can't because you were baptized when you were a baby. And then God put water on your head. I have a friend, he passed away now, but he was 96 years old. I said, what do you think about? He says, I'm 96. I don't remember the day, but I think about my baptism every day. So why? Because God made a promise to me 96 years ago, and he's never forgotten them even when I did. That's why baptism is important. Baptism isn't about me saying to God, oh, I love you, put water on my head. This is about God who says, I'm putting water on your head, love me. I will be your God. I will keep my promises to you, which are not wealth and a great house and a fantastic marriage and all your children are going to be awesome and all of them are going to believe. I will forgive you and I will love you and I will bring you into glory. Do you believe the promises of God? Remember Abraham, remember Moses, and now remember Joshua. A call to confidence. So you fathers, do you remember when you found out, hopefully it was your wife, was expecting? I do. Go, now what? I've got to raise a little child. I'm having a tough enough time raising myself. and you look at your wife. Do you know in the first 2 to 3 years of marriage, men have 10 times more nightmares than women? And you know why it is? How am I going to provide? How am I going to take care of my children? How am I going to take care of my wife? Oh, and here's something interesting. It's not my kid. It's God's child. Raise my child for me. Come on, Lord. I can't do it. Exactly. But if you don't turn from the left or from the right, I will be with you, Dad. I will take care of you. My brother, you're going to bring the word today. And I bet you you're scared. A little bit. It's my professor whom I love who's passed on, Dr. P. Wide Young. I said, when do you get rid of the butterflies and the nausea before you preach? He says, you better pray God that you never get rid of them because then you're overconfident. I will be with you, and then the Lord will be with you as you lead today, because you can't do it any other way, elders. You can't people please, and it's not easy, and it's not fun all the time. Max is a deacon. But if you believe, I will be there with you. No, in fact, it's not even if you believe. I am. So believe it. That's a remarkable thing. That God looks at Joshua and says, man, I know you're scared. I know there's a million unhappy folk back there. I know that you got to... You ever think about that? Like Joshua had to watch Jericho with babies being killed and some of them by his own sword? You feel your sword going into the flesh and blood of other people? You see death all over the place? You're going to see Achan and his whole family stoned to death and left in a pile of rubble? And then I think of Jesus. And he's in Gethsemane. And he fears, not because he's going to die, and not because he's worried that he's going to raise again, but because God the Father is going to turn his back on him and he doesn't know how he's going to survive it. Let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done. And the cup couldn't pass from you have a high priest who knows your fear. That's why he can say, I will be with you because I know exactly what you're going through. Now think about fear. Fear is the devil's work. Fear gets us to paralyze. Fear gets us to not do what we need to do, to worry. And then the apostle of love, John, says in 1 John 4, perfect love drives out fear. The only thing you would need to fear is that God doesn't love you. That God is angry with you, that you are going to hell. And if he says, come unto me through my son, by the Spirit, Romans 8, you cry out, Abba, Father, what do you have to fear? We sang it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will make wars to cease. I'm going to bring an end to all of this. Trust me. But you still got to do the work. You still got to perform for me. And by the way, you'll fail. Every father in this place knows we fail. Every man in this place knows we fail. Beloved, you see your pastor and your elders. I asked you to pray for them, but pray for them out of the understanding that they not only will fail, they do fail. And we don't listen always the way we should. And we don't speak the way we should. Or we say a joke we shouldn't have said. We're sinners. We're called by the appointment of God through the Spirit working in this place. That's the only reason that we can go. Pray that we would have confidence in the promises of Almighty God. That we can keep the command. Be strong and courageous. I want you to go with me to Joshua, if you still have your Bibles open, to Joshua chapter 5. And I'm going to read there from verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. So who's that man? You see that the New King James capitalizes it. It's Jesus. It's the Son of God. And do you notice what he's standing with? Ooh, this is marketing. A sword. Not the sword of the Spirit, but a sword. "I am going before you to slay the wicked. I am going before you to bring judgment on those who hate my father. I'm not for you, Joshua, and I'm not against the adversaries, Joshua, because I'm God. I am the Son of God. I am God." Why do you think he's worshiping? This is a pre-Christmas appearing of Jesus Christ, who does what? So what's happening now? When we see Jesus in Revelation 1, who do we see? The man who is glowing, who is omnipotent, powerful, not sitting at the right hand of God, but standing at the right hand of God, saying, "I'm with you." That's what the book of Revelation is about. I will be with you while you walk through this world that's hostile to you, that's killing you, that's going to make your life difficult. Don't worry, they can't stand up to me. It's okay. Here's the command, believe it. Be of good cheer. Be confident. Be accepting. Understand who God is. Any of you remember the last time God had a bad day? He never has a bad day. Which means that if I had a bad day, God didn't have a bad day because I was supposed to have the bad day. And of course, I'm whining and complaining because, like, my lawnmower didn't start after the three pulls, because I'm such a big, important, vast human being. It's happening for a reason. Jesus doesn't have a bad day. Tough times are happening for a reason. But God isn't promising Joshua prosperity in the sense that everything's going to go your way. He's promising prosperity in terms of the promise and reaching the end and the goal. Believe. Trust and obey, as the old song goes, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Know the word. Keep Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That's what we're talking about here. You need to know them. I like it that the King James does a good job here. It doesn't say meditate on. That's what we want to say. It says meditate in them. Surround yourself with them. Hide it in your heart with them. Love the word of the Lord. We live in a time where there are Matthew Henry Bible commentaries and Bible commentaries, and we can go online, and we are the most biblically illiterate people ever. Half the people, and sadly, lots of elders and deacons, and even more sadly, lots of ministers cannot read the Word of God. No clue what it says. They just read it. Oh, open a thing, and this is what it says. Do you know how to read the Word of the Lord? You cannot become good at reading the Word of the Lord if you don't read it. And we don't start with, "Well, I'm going to see if it's true." It is true. Holy Spirit, fill my heart. Wasn't that what Martin Luther did? We'll go teach all those young kids German. We'll get the Bible in German. We'll write it in German. And then we'll teach the little kids how to read so that they can read the Bible for themselves. So that if I'm up here and I would ever lead you astray, you go, no, but that's not what the Bible says. Because what's happening is preachers are becoming priests again. We tell you what to believe and you go, okay, that's what the pastor said. Don't. Elders, don't. How are you supposed to listen to the preaching that happens if you don't know what the word says? If you don't know what a sermon is supposed to say? And deacons, how are you going to lead us if you don't know what mercy really is? And fathers, how are you going to teach your children not to violate what worship is if you don't know what the word of the Lord says about worship? Obey me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. What is love? You notice how many times the word servant is showing up there? Moses, my servant. Serve me. Here's an issue. It's getting back to fear. Here's what men do, generally, when we fear. We yell. Or we run away. Oh, I can't handle my wife. What am I going to do? I'll run away. I can find more happiness there. Why do you think there's so many broken marriage vows? Now men are so scared they won't even ask a woman to marry you. Well, we'll just live common law. So many men today, they're biologically able to reproduce. But that's not what fatherhood is. Fear. Or I get scared in the church and I don't think things are going my way. And so I pout and I get angry. Or worse, I yell. And then I begin yelling at my wife, and I'm irritable with my children, and I don't represent Almighty God because I forgot that God loves me, and I forgot what he's done for me. And we forget as leadership who we are, which is saved by grace. The hardest thing to do as a parent, the hardest thing to do in leadership, especially when we do with morality, is to not work via the method of law. We're supposed to come in grace. Here's a thought. All you children here, you don't have to obey your father and your mother because they're your father and your mother. I told my children that the other day. They were going, this is good, but I'm not done yet. Do you know why my children have to listen to me? Because God says so. Because God is their father. Because God has saved them. He says, you're going to enter into the promised land if you obey. That's what it means, by the way. If you obey your father and mother, you will live long in the land. He's not talking head for head. He's talking to the whole nation. If you obey me, it's going to go well with you. And that's in the church too. If we have obedient children, that was our call to worship. How blessed we are if we have wisdom, wise children who know and believe the word of the Lord. But it's got to come from us men who in confidence in Almighty God and the surety of the promises now see life the way it needs to be said. I need to serve my children by leading them. I need to love my wife by showing her Christ. I need to show the church. And by the way, that means rebuke. That means you can't do it. Not because I want you to do what I want you to do, but because your soul's at stake. Because if you keep living like that, there's hell to pay. I don't want you to go to hell. And then I have a right to raise my voice out of real holy fear for your life. Obey the word of the Lord, Joshua. Don't go left. Don't go right. Don't start making things up. Don't start thinking, I know better and I'll help God out here. Trust and obey. And then it ends with these beautiful words of comfort. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Not will be, is with you. Wherever you go. There's only one way that Jesus Christ could do what he did for you. And it was out of the comfort and the wonder that he was going to live again. He had it, of course, because he is God, but also because he became a man and he had a deep faith in God. And even Joshua, you know, when you walk all the way through Joshua, and then we have the transition from Joshua to the judges. What's interesting, and a lot of people, when you walk into their house, they'll have it, right? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And that's an answer to, he says, choose now this day whom you will serve. And then he says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. But you know what the rest of that is? You won't. He knew that it was all going to lead to Golgotha. He knew that Israel was going to reject the Son of God. He knew that there was going to be a fallen David and a fallen Solomon and a divided kingdom and captivities and all this, because time and time again, fathers didn't lead. What's the whole book of Judges about? Because fathers did not teach their children about the art of war. They didn't teach them about God. So the fathers are, I got to get busy. I got to make money. I got to make sure their kids have something to eat. You know what? So what? You eat because God blesses you. Talk to your children, men. And by the way, all the children here are ours, men, about God and about love and about the surety that you have. For in that day you will say, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. There's a place to start. of the surety and the wonder of Almighty God, who says, I will be with you. And there will be times when it feels like he's not. It feels like he's way over there. And you're, really, Lord? And he will say, yes, because this is what's good for you. Because that's what a father does, right? Hebrews 12. No one likes the discipline of a father at the time, but in the end you look back and go, yeah, that's exactly what I needed. I will be with you, Christ, in the Great Commission, as you head out into the promised land that will be restored and given to you, says, lo, I am with you. The sword now is the sword of the Spirit. The power is that Spirit. And a God and Father watches over you so that all things happen for the good of those who love him. How long, by the way, is it that God will be with you? Forever. It doesn't end. It's not like when you die, it's done. Through death, into the new hope, and into the wonder of. In that, then, brothers, we can lead. In that, then, we can be husbands. In that, then, we can be leaders, elders, and pastors, and deacons. In that way, we can be prophets, and priests, and kings. In this surety, be strong, and be courageous. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That if God is for us, Psalm 124, who can be against us? Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. You're never supposed to add a sermon or end a sermon with a question, but I am. Amen? And I hope you can all say, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're weak and we're tired and we're worn and we're broken. And sometimes, Father, we're scared. Because, Father, what if we would speak the truth and they would throw us into prison? Or what if we go to work this week and they laugh at us and they ostracize us and they talk about us behind our backs? You say that would be good. You say that would be fruit of the Spirit. You would say that's a blessed reward. But we struggle with that, Lord, because we want to be liked. And we want peace. And frankly, Lord, sometimes we want the good life. To get out of here and get to heaven with minimal scratches and bruises. And then we see the bruised, broken, bleeding, thorn-crowned head of Jesus hanging there on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken him for us? So that we could take up our cross and we could go forward. We pray, Father, for a blessing for Reverend Mitchell Persaud. We pray a blessing for him as he leads his wife and his family, and that you would bless his family, that marriage vows would be kept, baptismal vows would be kept, and that his ministerial vows would be kept. Pray, Father, for the elders and the leadership of this church that you have so graciously provided. Give them a diligence, a desire to serve you, to read your word, to know it, to love us. And for our deacon, that you would watch over him, that he would show us the mercy and the wonder of Christ. For our pastor in training, Brother Enoch, and Lord God, that you would feed us this afternoon yet by his diligence in preparing a meal from your word. That you would bless us as fathers, Father, when we look down at our children, we wonder again how it is possible we could do any of these. Why did you ask us? And you say, I am with you. Always. Wherever you go. As I was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as I was with Moses and Joshua, I am with you in Jesus. Wow. What manner of love is this? So, Father, we pray that we would worship and love you and we would adore you, and that you would bless us in the rest of this Lord's Day, that we would take a break, we would take a rest, that we would be refreshed and ready to take up the battle in the week to come. You are God. We are your people. You are our Father. We are your children. In the name of our older brother, moved by the Spirit, we come. World without end. Amen. And amen.